All right, wonderful. Thank you, Brother Bruce. This may be a little bit loud with the fees, but I'm going to pull this down just a tad. Brother Green is approaching time. He will be a new father real soon, hopefully here in about a week or so. And so you pray for Bruce and Rachel. Due date's coming up in just about, well, less than a week now, I think it is. And so you pray for them and that God will bless with a safe delivery and a healthy recovery. Take your Bibles tonight, if you would, two passages of Scripture, Deuteronomy 15 and Matthew 26. Deuteronomy chapter 15 and Matthew chapter number 26. We're going to start a new study as we ended up our talking about several things about ministry. We're going to start on a new look at a different area of ministry. And I want to speak to you. It's probably going to take us two or three Sunday nights to get through this. But, you know, I always have so many questions from time to time about, preacher, how do I minister to the poor? Who do I minister to? Who do I not minister to? Who do I give to? Who do I not give to? How do I determine the factor? Well, tonight's probably going to be pretty much somewhat just kind of an introductory type deal, but I want you to stand with me if you would, if you're there in Deuteronomy chapter 15. And it's important that you listen carefully tonight as I try to define some things from the Bible that will help you minister a little bit better to the poor. Deuteronomy chapter 15, begin reading with me if you would in verse number 7. If there be among you a poor man of one of thy brethren within any of thy gates in thy land which the Lord thy God giveth thee, thou shalt not harden thine heart, nor shut thine hand from thy poor brother. But thou shalt open thine hand wide unto him, and shalt surely lend him sufficient for his need in that which he wanteth. Skip down to verse 10. Thou shalt surely give him, and thine heart shall not be grieved when thou givest unto him. Because that for this thing the Lord thy God shall bless thee in all thy works and in all that thou puttest thine hand unto. For the poor shall never cease out of the land. You need to underline that. It says the poor shall never cease out of the land. Therefore, I command thee, saying, thou shalt open thine hand wide unto thy brother, to thy poor, and to thy needy in thy land. Now the key there to understanding here, the message tonight, is it says the poor shall never cease out of the land. Now if you would flip over, you there in Matthew 26, just going to read part of one verse, verse 11. Matthew 26, verse number 11. Jesus simply made this statement to his disciples, for ye have the poor with you, or always with you. So in two different passages of Scripture, Deuteronomy 15, and there are others, but I just chose two tonight. Deuteronomy 15, Matthew 26 said there will never be a time where the land will ever cease from those that would fall into the category of the poor. And he said for those of us that are going to minister, he said that when we come in contact with the poor, we are not to harden our heart, we're to open our hand wide and meet the needs. But I think you're going to be amazed at how God breaks down the criteria of who to help and who not to help when it comes down. See, here's what we think. We think that just because a person has something and goes without something, that they fall under the category of poor. Not so. Not so. You see, just because a person doesn't have anything, there may be a reason they don't have anything. And we've got to be careful as we minister not to do some things that would hinder what God's trying to do in somebody's life, to teach them some biblical principles in some areas of life. So let's pray together, and then let's take a look tonight at ministering to the poor. Now, Father, would you bless us? And I pray that you would use the message tonight to open our heart and our spirit and our eyes to what you would have us to do in this particular area. Thank you for all that you've done today. Thank you, Father, for the many people that were saved and they were added to your church today. and we look forward to all that you're going to do tonight. Minister to our hearts. Holy Spirit, take control. Open spirits of the people tonight that they might receive the teaching and preaching in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. Now, church, I think it's very important before we dive into this subject of ministering to the poor that we define the word poor as the Bible defines the word poor, because you'll find in the scripture that the word poor has twofold meaning. It's not just designated for one particular thing. It has a twofold meaning. In scripture we find that the word poor, we found in Deuteronomy chapter 15 and Matthew chapter 26, that Jesus spoke of the poor, and the Old Testament, Moses spoke of the poor. Now, first of all, let me define the poor in property. This is what I mean when I mean poor in property. I mean people who are destitute. I'm talking about people who have nothing sufficient for practical living. Now, that word destitute is important. You need to understand what that means. The word destitute just simply means not having sufficiency to live. Now, listen now. Or the resources to rely on, such as family, such as friends, or such as health to be able to care for yourself and meet those everyday needs. You see, there's a tremendous difference, church, between a poor man and a slothful man. And everybody said, amen. There's a difference, and we're going to find out the Bible separates the two. He said there's a difference between someone that's destitute and that falls under the category of the poor, and then someone that's slothful and lazy and just don't want to do anything. He said there's a difference between, matter of fact, just go ahead and take your Bible, if you would, turn to Proverbs chapter 10. Now we're going to spend some time in Proverbs tonight, so if you want to just kind of put a marker there, we'll come back to it. Solomon has a lot to say about these types of issues. Proverbs chapter 10, verse number 4. Look at what it says. He that becometh poor, that dealeth with a slack hand. Let me read it again. It says, he becometh poor, that dealeth with a slack hand. So what God is saying, there are some people that are destitute and poor without resources. But he says there are some people that are poor because they make themselves poor. He said there are some people that are poor because of a lack of the ability or the lack of knowledge or the lack of effort to go forward and do something. He says he becometh poor that dealeth with a slack hand. Now, so there's a difference, church, between one destitute of property and not having the sufficient for practical living. There's a difference between that and a lazy man and a slothful man. By the way, when you go check the scripture out, God doesn't say have anything favorable to say about a lazy or slothful individual. Doesn't have anything good to say about them. Well, then we find definition number two, the twofold definition of poor. I said, first of all, there's a definition called a destitute, the people that are destitute of property. And then there's another definition we find in Scripture about people who are destitute in spirit. Destitute in spirit. That's people that are destitute of strength. Those are people that are without the strength to go on. Maybe they've come to a place to where they don't see very much value to their life. Maybe it's some people who have come to view themselves as having very little worth in life. People get to that place and they become poor in spirit. They become destitute in their spirit and in their heart. So we, if we're going to minister, we've got a twofold ministry in ministering to the poor. We're to minister to those who are destitute in property, but also those who are destitute in spirit. So we have a twofold ministry that we have to give attention to. And so tonight, what I want to do is just kind of give you some illustrations of some things. First of all, let me give you an illustration here quickly of someone who might be destitute in spirit. Somebody that may have come to a place, may have a wounded spirit caused by some kind of life-changing event. And it could be something such as the death of a loved one. It could be somebody or a situation that may be a tragic event in life of a family or friend. It could have been an accident. It could have been a failure to temptation that caused someone to go back into sin. It could be health-related issues. It could be wayward family members. It could be a loss of job, a loss of home, or a loss of finances. All of the above, check, check, check. All of the above causes a person to be destitute in spirit. And we as believers have to understand part of our ministry to the poor is ministering to those not just poor in property, but poor in spirit. You see, this particular area, church, could include a great big number of things that attack the spirit and bring it into bondage, to problems or tragedy or sin. Well, let me give you a couple of illustrations quickly here of what I'm talking about in this area. You see, there are some people that are poor, and they're poor because of physical or mental infirmities. You see, there's a category of people, for instance, that Jesus ran into quite frequently in his ministry. He ran into some that were lame from their birth. They couldn't get a job. They couldn't work. They didn't have much. And you know where we find most of these people? We find most of these people at the temple. Man, where else to go but sit outside the church? Hopefully you would think the church people would minister, right? So they'd go and sit outside the temple, and they would beg alms. Remember, Peter and John ran into one of these old guys one day in Acts chapter 3, and as they were going in at the hour of prayer, this man had been lame from his birth, looked up, not even knowing who they were, and cried out for an alms. Why? Because he was poor. He wasn't poor because he wanted to be. He was poor because he was destitute. He was without. He had no resources whatsoever. And he said, would you give me an alms? And listen to me. He wasn't destitute for long, though, because he came in contact with the right people. And as he looked up at Peter and John, he said, would you give me an alms? And they looked down at him, and they said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. He wasn't destitute long because he came in contact with the right Christians. Came in contact with somebody that was willing to help him. Now, wait a minute, stop. Do you think Peter and John were the only Christians that walked past him? Come on now. I said, you think they were the only ones? I don't think so. But they were the only ones that stopped to help him. Why? Because they saw, you know what? This man's destitute. This man is absolutely destitute. He's lame. Jesus ran into people like this also. Peter and John ran into them. You're going to run into people that are physically and mentally infirmed and are poor because of health issues. Some, it may be terminal illness. Many times I outdoor knocking and meet people and find out that people are in dire straits and destitute situations because of terminal illnesses. They can't work. They don't qualify for certain things. And so they're there and they're without. Sometimes in certain cases, physical infirmities like blindness and deafness would fall under this. In the Old Testament and the New Testament, men and women who were lepers, you know what? Totally destitute. They had what they called leper colonies that they would send these people to. They couldn't even hang out with the rest of the folks. You know, if they didn't have anything, anybody going to hire a leper? Anybody going to let their teenagers hang out with a leper? No! These are people that we're talking about destitute without any resource whatsoever to help themselves. Now, these would be people who might not be able to help themselves. And in many cases, there's a long-term help for people in these types of conditions. But you listen to me, but only for those who are in these conditions. You say, what are you getting at, preacher? There are some who take advantage of help. And everybody said, amen. There are some that are taking advantage. They're not destitute. You know what they are? They're lazy. They're slothful. They're taking advantage and they're taking food out of the mouths of some kids for their own stinking lusts. Now, Jesus had a few things to say. We're getting there. We may not get there tonight, but we're going to eventually get there. He had a few things to say about people of this condition and how we're to respond to them. Now, all I'm saying to you tonight, church, that there are some people that actually fall under the category of poor. They're destitute. They're without any available access to help themselves. You say, preacher, do we have a responsibility to them as a Christian and as a church? Yes, we do, and we'll eventually get there. But listen, I know many of you, it's hard for you to say no to people. Amen. I know that many of you here, you love, you want to help, you want to reach out to people, and sometimes it's very difficult for you to say no to people. And I know I've been there. I am there. It's hard to say no. But you know what? We need to take some biblical criteria in order as we minister to those that fall under this category that are physical or mentally infirm and cannot help themselves. But you know, there are also a group of people that are emotionally and spiritually distressed as well that we're to minister to, that are poor in spirit. Let me give you several of them. First of all, if you turn to 1 Kings chapter 17, remember we're introduced to Elijah in 1 Kings 17? And remember he's there and God ministered to him, and then he tells him to go down to Zarephath, and there he would find who? A widow woman and a son. No husband, but had a boy. So he goes down there to minister to the poor. And when he finds her, you know what? All she has is just a little enough flour and enough oil to make herself a cake, and her son, they're going to eat it and die. You know what that is? That's poor. That's poor. They had enough for one more meal, they're going to eat it and die. That's poor. So you know what Elijah says? He goes to them and says, listen, got some good news for you. You're not going to die. We're not. What's the plan? The plan is, before you do anything, you go right into the kitchen in there and you make a cake and give it to me. That's the plan. Now, most of us would say, you know what? You can just go where the booger man is, because I ain't giving you one first. I'm going to do everything I can to save my son. Now, you just get. And listen, if she had taken that attitude, her and her son would have died in poverty. You see, the man of God went and ministered to them. Now listen to me. Would everybody consider this widow woman destitute? She didn't have any resources. And so she was emotionally and spiritually distressed. Can you imagine? Here's a mama, and she realizes that, you know what? One more meal, and me and my boy is going to die. She had pretty much resigned herself to that fact. Poor in spirit. Let me take you forward just a little bit to Luke chapter 7. Jesus is walking into a small town by the name of Nain, N-A-I-N. And as he makes his way into this town, the first thing that greets him as they're coming out, he runs into a funeral procession. Now this lady involved in this had a twofold distress of spirit. She was twofold destitute in spirit. First of all, she was a widow. She'd already lost her husband. Now she's following the procession of her son out to the burial ground. Would everybody be okay for me saying that this is probably destitute of spirit? That here's a lady that not only had her husband die, but had her son die. But you know the good thing about it is, on her way out there, she had no idea she's fixing to have an encounter with Jesus. And on the way out to the cemetery, they encountered Jesus on the way. And you know what he did? He raised that boy from the dead and gave her back to him. Now, I'm just saying, this lady was destitute in spirit, and yet Jesus ministered to her. So far, we've talked about two widows. You say, what's important about that? Well, probably not tonight, but next week, we're going to find out about widows and what our responsibility is to widows indeed. Well, let's fast forward again to John chapter 8. Remember, Jesus is there discussing things around the temple, and the Pharisees bring a woman caught in the very act of adultery. Cast her down at Jesus' feet, said, listen, this woman was caught in the very act of adultery. This is what Moses said. Moses said, stone her. I love it because when they brought her and they began to talk to Jesus, it seems to be, the scripture indicates he just ignored them. I kind of like that because I'm pretty good at ignoring people. I kind of got that act down a little bit. You know, sometimes they were trying to catch him in his words. They were trying to lure. So you know what? He just ignored them. He just bent down, wrote something on the ground. You say, what was it? I don't know. But you know what? If they're going to fulfill the Old Testament law, go find the man. Why are you just bringing one? The scripture says we stone both of them. So I don't know what he wrote on the ground, but it might have been something like, where's the man? I don't know if that's what it was or not. But would everybody consider this adulterous woman fallen in sin, probably that everybody thought was a harlot and the off-scouring of the earth, would everybody consider her probably destitute in spirit? She's cast down like a piece of trash at the feet of Jesus. And Jesus just simply told him, he said, guys, I understand what the law says. But he who is without sin cast the first stone. And you know what? Not one of them rascals could throw one stone at her. So they all left. Jesus looks up and the only person there is her. And he says, woman, where are thine accusers? I don't know. I had my head covered because I thought I was going to get hit with a rock. I didn't see where they went. You know what? He said, neither do I condemn thee. You know what he told her to do? Go and sin no more. You know what Jesus did? He ministered to a woman that had gotten away from the right path and fallen into deep sin. And most everybody in here would consider immorality and adultery deep sin. But you know what Jesus didn't? He didn't stomp her on the ground and say, you know, he didn't kick her to the side, kick her to the curb. He didn't say, you know what? They should have stoned you. You better be glad I saved your life. Not at all. He just said, go sin no more. You know what he told her? You're still of value to me. Go tell others. Go and tell others what I've done for you. You see, she was poor in spirit, just like these widows were. Let me just move quickly and say in Mark 5, you'll find there the story of the maniac of Gadara, possessed with devils. Everybody consider him probably poor and destitute in spirit. Nobody want to hang around with a possessed person. Right? Particularly who's cutting himself. My goodness, if he cut himself, he'll cut you. Running around in chains, living in the cemetery among the dead. Yeah, who'd you hang out with today? Oh, just hang out with the old maniac down there. What did y'all do? Oh, we hung out in the tombs with the bones. What'd you do for your pastime? Oh, we just cut ourselves. You know, people do that, you know. And you know why they tell us that they do that? So that they can feel pain. Because some of them have been so abused, accused. That their spirit, they don't even feel pain anymore. So you know what they do? They cut themselves so they can feel physical pain. Hey, nobody's going to let your kid go hang out with a maniac full of the devil. But he was destitute. But you know what? He had an encounter with Jesus. Totally changed him. Let me give you one more. John 21. Let me tell you, somebody else was destitute in spirit that thought, you know what? I'm done. I've denied the Lord. He said, I go a fishing. So he goes a fishing, and others said, okay, well, guess we'll go with you also. So they go out, and let me tell you something. Listen now, they weren't looking for Jesus. Jesus came looking for them. And what I'm saying to you, do you know that most of the poor won't come and tell you they are? Most of the poor won't come and tell you what's going on inside their heart, in their life. You say, well, how will I know? You got to go looking for them. You got to go looking for them. And so what do they find? They look on the seashore, and Jesus showed up on the seashore. Who's he looking for? The destitute. Those who are destitute in spirit. Those who basically had stopped church and stopped fellowship and just went a-fishing. You see, there's a lot of people that fall under the category of poor in spirit. Every church, every neighborhood, Every town is littered with the poor who are destitute of property and destitute of spirit. You see, it's a ministry that a lot of God's people aren't real keen to get involved in for two reasons, I think. First of all, they just don't want to get involved because they don't know how far this is going to take them. And they're afraid to help somebody because they thought, my goodness, if I help them once, they're going to come back and want me to help them two and three and four times. So they're afraid to get involved in helping somebody. And then I think sometimes they just don't know what to say to people. You know? They just don't know what to say to people that's going through something that emotional or something spiritual. Now, in the Scripture, I believe, church, there's several things that I call discipleship distinctives. Just jot them down here, and we'll try to get to one thing here tonight and be done. Okay? Here's some what I'd call discipleship distinctives. First of all, I think it's very clear according to John chapter 15 that one of the discipleship distinctives is producing fruit. We need to reproduce ourselves. But you know, I cannot tell you out of all the years that God's given me an opportunity to go out and talk to people and witness to people, I cannot tell you how many people that I've had the opportunity to lead to Christ by doing nothing but listening to their problems. Just sit in their living room and just sit there for 30 minutes and listen to all of their problems. I recall, and I've told the story here, I'll tell it again. I remember out soul winning with a gentleman. This happened years ago. We knocked on a door, and it was dark. We knock, 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 knock. I didn't think anybody was coming about that time. I heard a voice on the other side. Who is it? I told him who we were. He said, one moment. So we waited there for a few moments. And I don't know, it seemed like an eternity. It probably wasn't, but just a couple of minutes. And he came back and opened the door about this far. He said, what do y'all want? And I began to talk to him and talk to him about the Lord. And he said, listen, y'all come on in. So we went on in and we sat there in just a dim light over in the corner. And I began to witness to this man and talk to him about the love of God and talk to him about all the situations in life. And he began, in the course of the witness, to begin to share with me all the problems. And I'm talking about, you talking about a bag load of problems. I'm telling you, I'm talking about to fill up a boxcar full of problems. But I sit there for probably 20 or 30 minutes and listen to him, and I would kind of try to get in another piece of witness. You know, listen to me, soul winners. Everybody listen to me. You know, sometimes if we're not too careful, we're trying to rush through. Instead of ministering to people, we're trying to rush through so we can move on to the next door. God may only have one door for you to knock that night. Don't be so quick to move on. And I begin to listen to this man, and after, I don't know, 20, 30 minutes, I was able to take my Bible. He said, oh, preacher, I got so many problems. I told him, I took my New Testament out, and I said, you know what? I got the answer to all your problems. He said, you do? I said, yeah, I got the answer to all the problems. Every single one of them I got the answer to. He said, well, you do? Where? I just opened my Testament up, went right through the Romans Road, led him to Christ. Listen, that guy sobbed. He looked up, he raised his head up. He said, yes, you're right, preacher. This is the answer to all my problems. After he raised his head and we prayed together, he looked at me and said, you know what? He said, right before y'all knocked on my door, he said, I was back in my bedroom. And after all the problems that he had told me about, I could tell that he was very discouraged, maybe even depressed. He told me about all of his problems, and he said, I was sitting in my back bedroom there, preacher. He said, I had a pistol in my hand. He said, I was about to put it in my mouth and pull the trigger. And he said, right before I put it in my mouth and pull the trigger, I just said, Lord, if you care anything about me, if there's a God in heaven, you show me. He said, I had no more got that out of my mouth. And you knocked on our door, on my door. Now, I'm just saying to you, you think that old boy was destitute in spirit? Yeah, very destitute in spirit. But I'm here to tell you today, dear folks, that one of the discipleship distinctive is producing fruit. The second thing that's a discipleship distinctive is personal relationship with Christ. A personal relationship with Christ. You know, the Lord said, if you love me, keep my commandments. One of the things he told his disciples, and one of the things that all men will know that you're my disciples, is if you love one another. He said, everybody will know you're my disciple. I wonder if that means even loving the poor. I wonder if that means even loving the poor who are poor in property, who are destitute in property, along with those who are destitute in spirit. Jesus said, when you show this among yourselves, all men will know that you're my disciples. Why? Because that's what the Lord did. So I said, discipleship distinctive one, producing fruit. Discipleship distinctive two is personal relationship with Christ. Discipleship distinctive number three is participating in ministry through the local church. Participating in ministry through the local church. You know, God has a niche for everybody in the local church. You just got to find out what it is. You see, if we love Jesus like we should, listen carefully now, we can then help. We cannot help but love people like we should. If we love the Lord like we should, we cannot help but love people like we should. Because you know what? Our love for Christ will reflect in the lives of others. Well, we've only got just a few moments. Let me just cover quickly, something quickly if I could with you. Take your Bible, if you would, go to Romans chapter 9. Hold your place there if you're in Proverbs. We're going to come back to Proverbs 14 in just a moment. Turn to Romans chapter 9, if you would, please. I want to cover for just a second. We don't have much time left, but I want to talk to you for just a moment what our attitude toward the poor should be. What should be our attitude? Are you there in Romans chapter 9? Romans 9. Look, if you would, down in verse number 15. Romans 9, 15. You'll recognize it when you get there. Romans 9, 15. Paul says, for he saith to Moses, this is God speaking, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. And you just circle those two words, the word mercy and the word compassion. We'll get to those eventually. Turn back, if you would, to Proverbs 14 and verse 21. Proverbs 14 and verse 21. It says, he that despiseth his neighbor sinneth, but, underline it, he that hath, what does that say? Is that what we just read that God said he would have mercy on whom he would have mercy? But he that hath mercy on who? Now listen, that's not just poor and destitute in property, that's poor and destitute in spirit. He said that is the twofold definition of poor in ministry. He said those that despise the poor sinneth, but he that hath mercy on the poor, look at this, isn't this amazing? Happy is he. You know what it is? It's fulfilling. It's wonderful. Hey, listen, I tell you, there's nothing more than being able to reach out and minister to somebody, whether they're poor in property or poor in spirit. There's just something that happens inside that, boy, just makes you feel so good. Just so good that you help somebody that was destitute in an area. Now, our attitude toward the poor should be the same as God's attitude toward the poor. And you know what? He said he would have mercy on those who qualified under those categories. So our attitude toward the poor should be the same as God's attitude toward the poor. You say, okay, preacher, what attitude should we have toward those who are poor in property but not destitute? Well, let's find out what the Scripture says. Take your Bible, if you would, and turn with me to 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. Now, everybody okay with me saying our attitude toward the poor should be the same as God's attitude toward the poor? It's the same principle is, you know what? We need to love what God loves, hate what God hates. All right, are you there? 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 10. Paul says, for even when we were with you, this we commanded you, that if any would not work, neither should he what? I said, our attitude toward the poor and property that aren't destitute ought to be God's attitude. You know what God's attitude is? You don't work, and you have the capabilities of doing so, you don't eat. Oh, can I say this? And if there's the head of the home that has the physical ability to work and chooses not to and becomes slothful and lazy, and he just decides, you know what, I'm not going to care for my family, guess who else won't eat? Mama ain't eating either. Babies aren't eating either. You say, oh, that's terrible. Folks, it's all over the world. It's happening all over the world. Now, you say, well, what is our attitude to be? Well, let me tell you, let me show you something else here. Turn, if you would, it's not far. Turn to 1 Timothy chapter 5. Turn to 1 Timothy chapter 5. Now, for those of you that have the gift of helps, you're going to get a little, you're going to get squirmy in your pew. Just hold on. All right, it'll be okay. But you need, listen, you need to have that, you need to have the attitude toward those who are genuinely destitute. And sometimes we confuse the two. Okay? We confuse those who are actually destitute and those who are just plain out lazy and slothful. 1 Timothy 5, verse 8. Are you there? The scripture says, but if any provide not for his own, and especially for those of his own house, he hath denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. You say, man, this is pretty harsh, isn't it? Only for those who don't want to work. Only for those who want to be a sloth. Only for those who want to be lazy. Listen, listen, I'm not trying to hurt anybody's feelings. Only for those who do this all the time. You take that however you want to take it. I'm just telling you that God says, you know what? If you won't even feed your own, you're worse than an infidel. And God says, if you won't work, then bless God. You don't eat. Now listen, here's what most of us do. And listen, I know most of you. Here's what we want to do. We want to help them in their sin. Come on now. I said we want to help and abate them to continue this lifestyle. And all we're doing is helping them take food out of somebody else's mouth that actually qualifies for it, that actually is destitute. You say, well, Jesus wouldn't do it. That's what he said. That's what the scripture says. Listen, whatever God's attitude toward the poor is ought to be our attitude. Now listen, those who will not work that are physically able should reap the consequences of their choices. You say, well, that's not fair. Well, you know what? God ain't into being fair. You know what God's into being? Just. God's into sticking with principle and truth. Well, that's not fair. Yeah, it is. They have just as much ability to work as anybody else does. And if they choose not to, the scripture says they shouldn't eat. You say, man, it's hardcore, isn't it? This Christianity, folks. And listen, I'm just telling you, folks, the thing about it is, what happens is sometimes we get a little soft on the word. And God says, you need to stick to what I... He said, my attitude toward things needs to be your attitude toward things. Now, listen carefully. To enable a lazy and slothful person to continue to live off the labors of others is not helping him in any area of his life. Listen, all we're doing is abating him to sin and doing things and helping him to do things that he will never get out of that trap the rest of his life. And you listen to me. What he's going to do is he's going to raise little babies. And you know what? Mom and daddy did this all their life. Their babies are going to do this all their life. At some point, the chain has to be broken. And we as Christians don't need to be affording people the opportunity to continue this lifestyle. Amen? Take your Bible, turn to Proverbs chapter 19. We're going to have to shut her down. I told you we wasn't getting very far. Proverbs chapter 19. Okay? Everybody still okay? All right, just want to make sure everybody's okay. Proverbs chapter 19, verse 24. A slothful man hideth his hand in his bosom. You know why? Because he don't want to do anything, and it may be to hide what he's got in it. Amen. A slothful man hideth his hand in his bosom. Why? Because he may have something that don't belong in his hand that belongs to somebody else. Now look what it says. And will not so much as bring it to his mouth again. That's pretty lazy. That is absolutely slothful. Listen, he said, listen, he doesn't even have and even chooses the ability. You know what he wants to do? He wants to have his cake and then somebody feed it to him and let him eat it too. He wants to sit in life and open his mouth and allow somebody else to put the food in there. God said, sorry, you don't work, you don't eat. Now, sure sounds to me that God's attitude towards slothfulness and laziness is poverty by choice. Everybody hear me? I said it's poverty by choice. Some people are in poverty. Some people are destitute because they can't help it because they have no other resources whatsoever. But some people are in poverty because they choose to be. Because let's read a few verses and we'll be done. Are you there? Still in Proverbs? Turn to Proverbs 13. Let's get the Bible involved here. Proverbs chapter 13 and verse 18. Proverbs 13, 18. Listen to what it says. Poverty and shame shall be to him that... Does your Bible say refuseth? That's a pretty strong word, isn't it? That means to decide he's not going to do it. That refuseth instruction. But he that regardeth reproof shall be honored. Listen to what comes to a guy that refuses instruction. In other words, it cops his attitude. You know what? Ain't nobody going to tell me what to do. You know what? You'll never hold a job then. Ever. And you listen to me, young people. If you cop that attitude that nobody's going to tell you what to do, mark her down. You'll never hold a job. You'll never amount to a hill of beans if you don't get rid of that attitude. Because you listen to me, there's always going to be somebody that's going to tell you what to do. You say, not in my life. There may not be a human, but I got a Bible full of the Word of God's going to tell you what to do. You say, I'll not abide to it either. Good night. I just saying to you, hey, poverty and shame shall be to him that refuseth instruction. Listen, we got some people. I'm just telling you. And I'm talking about Christian people. I'm not talking about heathenistic people. I'm talking about Christian people that refuse to follow instructions. You know what? They'll live all the days of their life in poverty. And listen, it's not your job, my job, or the church's job to support them in it. Proverbs 20 and verse 13. Proverbs 20 and verse number 13. Now listen, we're talking about what attitude should we have to the poor in property that are not destitute. Now listen, we're going to get to some of the fuzzy stuff next week. What do you do to people that are destitute? How do you help them? But we got to, first of all, we got to get the negative out of the way first, because there's some people that are imposters. Proverbs 20 and verse 13. Love not sleep. Oh, I hate that it's in the Bible. Oh, I hate it. Y'all love sleep? Listen, I love it so... I don't get a lot of it. But what I do get, I love. I love it so much that, you know what, sometimes I just slobber. I love it so much. Hey, most of you in here, you probably have to change pillows about once every 2 or 3 weeks. Got big old slobber stain. Man, you love sleep too much. I love it. It says, love not sleep, lest thou come to what? Open thine eyes, and thou shalt be satisfied with... You know what some folks' problem is? The reason they're in poverty? They don't get out of bed. Hey, listen, tomorrow morning It's going to be nice and crisp. Now, if you got wood outside the house, you might can go, if you got a fireplace, go throw a couple logs on there, get up real early, and start the fire. Now, since most of us are not used to having a whole lot of fires down here, don't do what I do every year. Make sure the damper's open. Every year, I do the same thing. I get there, man, I get up early, Brother Garden. I go down and start a fire in there. I fix my wife some coffee. I said, oh, man, she's going to be so proud of me. She's going to be so excited about me. And I'm telling you, I'm in there fixing the coffee. And about that time, I hear my wife going, I look at the house is full of smoke. I'm thinking, I've lived in here 20-something years. I still can't remember to open the damper. One year, I remembered to open the damper. And smoke still came in the house. And I'm thinking, I don't understand what happened. I remember what it did. I had one of my boys get on top of the roof, and we put a piece of plywood over the chimney with a rock on it because we had chimney sweeps getting down in there because I'm too cheap to buy one of those cages to keep them out of there. And so I opened the damper, and I thought I was so proud of myself, I remembered it, but I forgot to take the piece of plywood off of the chimney. So the smoke came back in the house. Love not sleep, lest thou come to poverty. Look at 23:21 quickly. For the drunkard and the glutton shall come to poverty, and drowsiness shall clothe a man how? With rags. When you wake up in the morning, you know how you feel? Look at one more. Proverbs 24, verse 30. Solomon says, I went by the field of the slothful and by the vineyard of the man void of understanding. And lo, it was all grown over with thorns and nettles, and covered the face thereof, and the stone wall thereof was broken down. Then I saw and considered it well. I looked upon it and received instruction. Yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep. Listen now. So shall thy poverty come as one that traveleth, and thy want as an armed man. The key to all this is verse 33, a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding the hands to sleep. Now, here's the principle I want to leave you with. You say, preacher, this is kind of harsh toward poor people. No. It's biblical. Okay? It's God's attitude toward those who fall under the category of poor in property but not destitute. Because there's a lot of people that are imposters. They're not destitute, but they try to make you think they're destitute, but they're not. And usually one of the keys is that they're not, is because they're always doing this. Okay? That's normally a pretty good sign that they're not destitute. But here's the principle, that the universal principle across the board, and here it is. You've heard it a jillion times. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, help me now, that shall he also reap. So if a man will not work, what does Scripture say? He should not what? Okay? Then as believers, if we're going to reach out and minister to the poor, we got to make sure that these dear people are destined. And listen, we've all been taken a time or two before, and I'm not saying that, listen, you know what? If God leads you to do something, then do it and be happy about it. But you know what? If I know that someone's not destitute, and I know that they're trying to live off the labors of other people, God says, listen, don't help them in their sin. You're not helping them at all. You're teaching them a bad way of life. And you know what? We're supposed to be edified. We're supposed to be exhorted. We're supposed to be helping, training, teaching, not abating somebody to do something that's going to hinder them and their entire family. We'll pick up there next week. You pray, and as we look into next week, the attitude toward the poor in property that are actually destitute. Well, how do you minister to someone that can't help themselves and has a physical infirmity? We're going to find out what the Lord did and what He commands us to do. Father, Thank you for all that you've done tonight in this service. Would you bless us, encourage our hearts? We pray from your word. Now with the heads bowed, eyes closed, no one's looking. How many can say, preacher, I'm saved. I'm a child of God. I'm a born-again believer. I want you to slip your hand way up high. Say, that's me. That's me. Slip it up. Say, that's me. I'm saved. I'm a Christian. No question about it. Wonderful. Okay? You can put your hands down. Now, Father, the invitation is yours.